Something is making noise. Ah, much better. The only bad thing about Mother's Day is I remember back to some of the times when I wasn't such a good son and, like, you know, scared my mother to death and played tricks on her and all kinds of things that I hope I never have to pay for. In 1965, a soft-spoken, thin man walked into Pittsburgh's WQED, the nation's first public television station, to pitch a show targeting young children. The concept was simple enough: to teach life lessons using puppets and songs and conversations. Didn't sound like much. But the man was Mr. Fred Rogers, and the show that he started was Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. What most people don't know about that, though, is that Fred Rogers got into television because he hated television. He was going through seminary to become a pastor, and while he was there, he got disgusted by the junk that he was seeing on television. He said, "I got into television because I saw people throwing pies at each other's faces, and that to me was such demeaning behavior. And if there's anything that bothers me, it's one person demeaning another that really makes me mad." So he decided to try and change it, and he dropped out of seminary, went into broadcasting, and eventually created Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, one of the most loved children's television programs ever, and one that would shape entire generations of children. The point of the story, though, is that he wasn't content to just criticize television. He set out to change it and to change the world. I did a search on Amazon.com for books that have changed the world in their title. There's over 5,000 of them on Amazon. Books about everyone from the Beatles to Susan B. Anthony to Mozart to people that I've never even heard of, but who supposedly changed the world. Why 5,000 books about this? Well, I think it's because all of us want to feel like we leave some lasting mark on the world, that we change it in some way for the better, that somehow our life will be remembered even after we're gone. In other words, we want to leave a legacy. If you're an average American, you're going to live about 29,000 days. By the time you reach your 70th birthday, you will spend 23 years of your life sleeping, 17 years working, 11 years watching TV and playing, 6 years traveling, 6 years eating, 2 years of your life getting ready, and for some people at least, 1 year of your life going to church. And we're trying to stretch that to 2 years this morning. But the tragedy is that you could do all of that and then come to the end and realize that you didn't leave a legacy. And, you know, that's true of many, many people. Wouldn't it be a frightening thing to get to the end of your life and then you look back and you realize, wow, I wasted it. I didn't accomplish what I wanted. I spent most of it on things that didn't matter. The truth is, you only have 3 alternatives in life. You can spend your life, you can waste your life, or you can invest your life. And I want to suggest to you that the greatest use of your life is to invest it in something that outlasts it. And that's called leaving a legacy. Jesus said it like this in Mark 8:37. "What can you give in exchange for your soul?" Do you ever think about the fact that all through your life, you're exchanging your life for something? Every time you give a couple of hours of your life to something, you're exchanging your life. You know, every time you spend 2 hours watching TV or shopping or golf, you've exchanged your life for that, because your time is your life. In fact, if you kill time, you're committing suicide, because your time is your life. If you lose money, it's not a big deal. You can always get more money, can't you? But if you lose your time, you can never get more of that. You only have a certain amount. It's your most valuable possession. So how are you going to use it? Are you going to leave a legacy? Are you going to invest it? When Jim Tressel was the head coach of Ohio State football, he used to have a question that he asked his teams before they played in the big games, the bowl games, the national championships, etc. He would ask his players, "What do you want to be remembered for?" Now, the funny thing is, what is Jim Tressel remembered for? Oh, he's the guy who got fired for recruiting violations. He should have paid more attention to his own question, right? But obviously, life is a lot more important than football games, but it's still a great question. So let me ask you that question this morning. What do you want to be remembered for? What do you want to be remembered for when you're gone? What kind of legacy do you want to leave? The truth is that career or financial success does not ensure that you will leave a legacy. The moment you achieve a goal, you know it's only a matter of time until somebody else surpasses you. You might be the top salesman in your company today, and next month or next year, you're going to be forgotten because somebody else is going to be number one. You know, success does not ensure a legacy. Given enough time, every achievement is going to be surpassed and forgotten. Success does not ensure a legacy. We've had presidents of the U.S. who have gotten like to the pinnacle of power and success that's possible in this world, and yet are remembered in negative ways, not positive. Richard Nixon will always be remembered for saying on national TV, "I am not a crook." Bill Clinton's accomplishments will forever be marred by the affair he had with Monica Lewinsky. Just because you reach the top does not mean that you leave a legacy. So let me ask you again, what do you want to be remembered for? Solomon was one of the most successful men that ever lived. He was immensely wealthy and powerful. And yet in Ecclesiastes, he tells us that all of the wealth and accomplishments we could ever gather, all the great things that we could ever build or achieve, all of them will just end up in the hands of fools who will misuse and abuse and destroy everything we've done. Isn't that a comforting thought? In fact, you know what? It happened to Solomon himself. He created the most powerful empire of his time. But then he died, and within a couple years, his son, the new king, made such colossal mistakes that it tore the country in two. The country lost all of its power and success and wealth and was never the same again. Within a couple years. Even Solomon's greatest achievement, building the temple, lost and forgotten. It was torn down by the Babylonians. Everything Solomon had worked to create and achieve, all gone. Success and wealth will not make you leave a legacy. So, what kind of legacy should we try to leave that will last? The Bible tells us that a truly great legacy is a result of three things: righteous deeds, influence for good, and a pure soul that will live forever with God. And so if you want to leave a legacy that lasts, then those three things have to be your top priority: righteous deeds, influence for good, and a pure soul. Now, you might ask, well, won't those things just be forgotten as well? You know, just like success and wealth and power are forgotten, you know, won't acts of kindness and goodness and faithfulness be forgotten as well? Won't good people be forgotten just as quickly as evil people? No, they won't. Why? The Bible says there's a huge difference between the legacy of a righteous person and the legacy of a worldly person. The difference is that God will remember and reward the righteous. In Psalm 112, it says, "Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever." That's a long time. That's a real legacy when you're remembered forever. As Greg was saying earlier, Mother's Day was established in 1914 as the result of the legacy of one woman, Ann Jarvis, in West Virginia. She was doing it to commemorate her mother, who worked to help and serve others and who left a great legacy for others to come. And so as we celebrate Mother's Day this morning, let me give you three steps toward leaving a legacy that will be remembered forever. Number one is examine the work that you're doing for God. That's the first step. Look at what you're doing right now. Not what you think about doing or plan to do or someday or have thought about in the past. You know, what are you doing right now for God? When you look at the people who have left the greatest impact on this world, they were not the brightest people, not the most educated or wealthiest people. The people that made the biggest difference in this world are the people who have the deepest convictions, and then they focus their whole life around those convictions. Now, how does that apply to you? In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we," meaning followers of Christ, "we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has prepared in advance good works, things that He wants you to do with your life that will leave a legacy. You don't need to create something new. God already has a plan for how you can leave a great legacy. You just need to follow what He's planned for you. So let me ask you, what are you doing to serve God? And are you doing the things that God has prepared in advance for you to do? You might say, well, Ken, I have no idea what God has prepared for me to do, so how am I going to know if I'm doing it or not? Well, it's not that difficult. First of all, you look at, are you currently doing anything to serve God? You know, do you have something in your schedule every week or at least every couple weeks where you're setting aside time to serve God by serving others? Doing some kind of work for God. It could be something here at the church. It could be starting a Bible study at work. It could be mentoring a kid and teaching them about Jesus. It could be helping the poor. Any number of things. But there needs to be something in your schedule on a regular basis where you're doing good works in the name of Jesus Christ to build His kingdom. Because there is one thing I know for sure. And that is, if you have nothing in your schedule where you're serving God on a regular basis, then you are not going to build a legacy that will be remembered forever. You will never make a difference in this world by watching TV. You will never make a difference in this world by laughing at the latest YouTube videos. It's not going to happen. It takes time and effort to make a difference in this world. Now, if you are doing good works, as that last verse talks about, then the only other question is, are you doing the right things? Are you doing the things that God created you for, the things that He prepared in advance for you to do? Are you doing the right things? And the way you discover that is by discovering your spiritual gifts that God has given you. Spiritual gifts are the abilities and talents that God has given every one of His people to serve Him through it. The Bible has several lists of these, things like teaching and serving, administration, faith, prophecy, evangelism, leadership, mercy, helping others, etc. Every Christian has been given at least one of those, and God wants you to use them to serve Him and to serve others. So if you don't know what those are, then obviously a next step is to figure out what those gifts are. There's a bunch of good tools. I like the book, Discover Your God-Given Gifts. That's one that you could use. I also put a link on the bottom of your bulletin outline. If you go to that link on your computer, it's got descriptions of all the gifts. It's got a quiz that you can actually take. You know, you answer a bunch of questions, and then it'll tell you what your most likely gifts are. So you can use that, the resources out there, to help you discover. And then once you've discovered your spiritual gifts, then you find a way to start using them to serve God and to help other people. So that's the start. The second step to leaving a legacy is to change your primary loyalty. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money." God makes it very clear that He has to be the ultimate loyalty. You have to decide at some point, is my primary loyalty, is my number one loyalty to my career, my stuff, my security, possessions, comfort, or is it really to God? Because have you noticed that people who are all about themselves and piling up possessions and security and getting their retirement straight, if they're all about that, have you noticed they don't change the world? Have you noticed those people don't leave legacies that everybody remembers? Let's look at a couple guys from the Bible who decided that their primary loyalty was to God. The first one is David. In Acts 13 it says, "David served God's purpose in his own generation." How would you like to have that written on your tombstone, that you served God's purpose in your generation? How could you have anything greater than that written as an epitaph? I love how it continues on. David served God's purpose in his generation, then he died. Hey, after you have done everything in God's purpose for you and served others and served God with all his will, then you might as well just go to heaven where you can really live it up. I mean, that what a great thing. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. Why was he a man after God's own heart? It was because there was never any doubt in his life who was number one, or what was number one in his life. Yeah, he made mistakes, he blew it just like all of us do, but when it came down to it, God was number one in his life. There was no question about it. He wanted to do whatever God wanted. Another guy in the Bible like that was the Apostle Paul. Paul was focused in on his ministry, his mission in life, his purpose of God. He was focused on it. Acts 20, it tells us, Paul says, I reckon my own life to be worth nothing to me. I only want to complete my mission and finish the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to do. Notice the words, complete my mission. Have you completed your mission? You have a life mission. A mission that only you can do. God prepared those works in advance for you to do them. It's unique. If you don't do it, nobody's going to do it. You have a mission from God. And it amazes me that people spend months or years thinking about planning for their retirement or planning their career out and you know, what are we going to do next in 5 years from now, etc. And they spend no time at all planning their life. What's more important, planning your career or retirement or planning your life? As a result, sometimes their job is going great, they got their retirement all settled, and their life is going down the tubes. You change your primary loyalty. Then the third step is to take some small step now. Get started. Do something now toward leaving a legacy. It's not enough to know the right answers when somebody asks you about your faith. You know, God says, well, that's nice. I'm glad you know the right answers. Now do something with it. Do something. If you want to leave a legacy, you got to take action. You got to make a decision. You got to walk across the line and make a commitment. Tony Campolo is one of my favorite authors. Let me read you a story that he tells. He said, I belong to a black church, and it's really fun to speak there. You always know how you're doing. Even when you're not doing well, they let you know. One time I was halfway through a sermon that was going nowhere, and some lady in the back yelled, help him, Jesus, help him, Jesus. I knew it wasn't going well. Once a year at my church, we have a student recognition day, and the college students come back and sit in the first three or four rows. One by one, they come to the pulpit, and they tell the congregation what they're doing. For example, I'm studying engineering at MIT, and you'll hear grandmothers and grandfathers going, my, thank you, Jesus. Someone else will say, I'm going to law school. Oh, Lordy, Lordy, thank you, Lord. I'm studying music at Juilliard. Thank you, Jesus. When they were all seated, my pastor looked at them and said, children, you are going to die. That's a good thing to tell young people because they don't think they're going to die. He says, you're going to die. They're going to take you off to the cemetery. They're going to drop you in a hole. They're going to throw dirt in your face, and they're going to go back to the church and eat potato salad. He said, when you were born, you were the only one that cried. Everybody else was happy. That is not important. Here's what's important. When you die, will you be the only one that's happy and everybody else will cry? It depends on what your life is about, what you're living for. Are you living for titles or testimony? There was Moses and there was Pharaoh. Pharaoh had the title, but when it was over, that was all he had, was a title. Moses had testimonies. Queen Jezebel, she was going to destroy Elijah, the prophet of God. But when it was over, all Jezebel had was a title. But Elijah had testimony. There was King Darius, and he threw Daniel into the lion's den. But when it was over, all Darius had was a title. But Daniel had the testimony. People of God, one of these days they're going to drop you in a hole, throw dirt in your face, and go back to the church and eat potato salad. And the question is, What will it all mean? Do you want a tombstone with all your titles? I guess that's all right, but wouldn't it be even better if there were people gathered around your grave giving testimonies about how you blessed them and how you helped them and how you ministered to them? Don't get me wrong, I wish for you both titles and testimonies, but if you have to make a choice, hear me out. If you have to choose between titles and testimonies, you go for the testimonies. Now, why did I read you that? Titles are what you get when you're successful in this world. Testimonies are what you get when you're successful with God, because you helped and served and blessed other people. If you want to leave a legacy, it will not be about how successful you are. It will be because you made a difference in people's lives. Your life was a legacy about serving and helping others and not just serving yourself. You left a legacy of righteous deeds, influence for good, and a pure soul that will live forever with God. Now, that may sound difficult, but it isn't as hard as you might think. It begins with simply asking yourself, what am I doing to make a difference? What am I doing to make a difference? You don't have to quit your job and go off and be a missionary in Africa. You don't have to go work at the homeless shelter. You can make a huge difference right where you are, no matter what kind of job you have. Let me read you a quote. It's not from Scripture, it's from George Bernard Shaw, who wasn't even a Christian, but he really got it right when he said this. He said, "This is the true joy in life, being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die. The harder I work, the more I live. I rejoice in life. Life is no brief candle for me. It's sort of a splendid torch, which I've got hold of for the moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations." He's talking about living for something beyond yourself, living for something that will outlast your life, something that will last for eternity. He's talking about leaving a legacy. Now, why is this so important? Why should you do this? What's the payoff for this? Well, there are two great payoffs. The first payoff is fulfillment here and now. Jesus says it like this in Mark 8:35. He says, "Only those who give their lives away for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live." Do you know what it means to really live? He says, only if you give your life away will you even know what it means to really live. You see, God wired the universe so that people will never find lasting happiness in getting. You find lasting happiness in giving to others, in giving your life away. And what matters about your life is not how long you live, but how you live. If you live to be 150, but you're a selfish little clod, then who cares? What matters is not the duration of your life, but the donation of your life. If you're just going to live for yourself and be self-centered and selfish and living for your own comfort, who cares if you live another year? It's the contribution of your life that makes a difference. And when you intentionally shift the focus of your life from focusing on what can I get out of life to what can I give to this world, how can I make it a better place? How can I make the people around me better people? Then you move from success as the focus of your life to significance as the focus of your life. And when you do that, you find fulfillment here and now, because that is the way that God wired this world to work. But even if that payoff weren't there, even if that wasn't true, there is an even greater reason for working to leave a legacy that'll be remembered forever. And the greater reason is your eternal reward. God is watching your life here now to determine what your rewards and responsibilities will be for eternity. All of eternity is based on what you're doing right now in this short life. God says there will be three specific rewards that God is going to give to you that will last for eternity. They're found in Matthew 25:23. The master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Three things in that one passage. Number one is a commendation. If you invest your life to help others and do what God wants you to do, then the first thing God says that's going to happen when you get to heaven, you're going to receive a commendation. He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now, can you imagine the creator of the universe, God himself, saying to you, "Well done. Well done. You did a great job with your life. You didn't just live it for yourself. You used it to serve other people and help other people in my name. Way to go. Good job." Can you imagine that? There's a story in the Bible about an unknown woman who did a small act that will be remembered forever. It says Jesus was sitting at a dinner and this woman came in. She had an expensive bottle of perfume. She broke the seal on it. She used the perfume to anoint his feet. And like so often happens with great acts of worship, she was immediately criticized for it. And people say, "Oh, that was an expensive bottle of perfume. She should have sold that and used donations to help the poor. Well, why did she do that?" But Jesus said what she did was an act of worship. It may seem wasteful or insignificant, but Jesus said, "Because she did it for me, it will be remembered forever." And 2,000 years later, we're still talking about what she did that day. On the other side of the world, we're talking about it. We're remembering it. What you're doing may seem small or insignificant to you, may seem small or insignificant to the people around you. But if you are doing it for Jesus, it counts and it will be remembered. Other people may not appreciate it. Jesus says, "I'm keeping score. And you're going to be rewarded no matter how small or insignificant it may be." He says, "I'm watching," and there's going to be a commendation. Second, there's going to be a promotion. He says, "You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." The Bible says in heaven, there is going to be satisfying, fulfilling work for us to do. And God says that some of us are going to be promoted. Certainly not all, but some of us are going to be promoted, and we're going to be put in charge of many things. We're going to be given responsibility and authority in heaven. God says, what does it depend on? It depends on how faithful were you with what you had to work with on earth. If you were faithful on earth, then you will be rewarded with much greater responsibility in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend all of eternity in some second-rate position because I was unfaithful with what I had here. I want a good job. I don't want to be sitting on the bench playing second string for eternity. I want God to say, "Ken, you took what little I gave you, and you used it faithfully. You used it well, and so here's greater responsibility." You'll be rewarded in heaven with a commendation and a promotion. Third, he says, there's going to be a celebration. Come and share your master's happiness. God is going to throw a party for you in heaven. Can you imagine God throwing a party? I mean, that would be a good party, wouldn't it? I mean, you're going to be rejoicing with him that your life brought him glory, that your life counted, that you didn't just live for yourself, but you invested your life in helping others. At the end of World War II, General Eisenhower came back from Europe. He landed in New York. At the airport, they rolled out the red carpet for him. They had a ticker tape parade. They had bands and balloons, big signs everywhere that said, "Welcome home, Ike." And Ike came down from the plane, and everybody was screaming and hollering, "Welcome home, Ike." Tremendous reception. On the same plane, there was a man who had spent his entire life as a missionary in Africa. He was coming home by himself because his wife and kids had died in Africa of typhoid fever. He was in poor health himself. He'd spent his whole life there trying to serve God by reaching people and serving others. He came down the steps, and there was no one there to greet him. He saw all these signs, welcome home, Mike, and the big party, and the bands and balloons stuff, and he began to have a little pity party. He said, you know, maybe I made a mistake. I invested my life trying to serve God and trying to help others, and there's nobody to welcome me home. There's no party, no bands or balloons or ticker tape, and he began to feel a little self-pity. And then he said it was like God whispered into his ear, wait a minute, son, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. You won't be in heaven for 5 minutes before you'll be saying, why didn't I give more and serve more and share more and invest more? You know, why did I live for things that aren't even going to last for 70 years? Why didn't I live for things that would last for eternity? Well, I have good news this morning. Your life is not over. No matter what your age, you still have time to change that and turn it around. I don't care what's happened in your life up to this point. I don't care where you've been. Maybe you've stumbled and fumbled, and there's things in your life that you're ashamed of and hope nobody finds out about. None of that matters. What matters is not where you've been, but what direction are your feet headed right now? Where are you going to go the rest of your life? Is the goal of the rest of your life to be centered on serving yourself, be successful, have a great career, have a lot of comfort, get a great retirement? Or is your real goal going to be to leave a legacy of significance? If you were to die today, how would you be remembered by others? And how would you be remembered by God? Would you leave behind a bunch of stuff, a little money, some fading memories? Or would you pass on a legacy of righteous deeds, influence for good, and a pure soul that will live forever with God? Let's stand for prayer, and I'd like our worship band to come up for a closing song. Will you bow with me in prayer? Jesus said, how do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul in the process? You can start building an eternal legacy today. The first step is to establish a relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that, you can do that right now. Just pray along with me silently. God will hear you. Just pray, dear God, I want to put your Son, Jesus Christ, as number one in my life. Would you fill me with your love, with your purpose, with your power? I want you to be the boss in my life. I thank you for your forgiveness. I give you my life now. In Jesus' name. Lord, for all of us here, we ask that you'll help us to start building legacies today, that we'll live for significance, that we'll be involved in things of your kingdom and things that really count, not things that don't count or won't last. Help us to figure out the gifts that you've given us and help us to start using them for you. And would you help each of us discover the mission that you made us for? Use us to help others. Lord, would you let us be torches that burn brightly for you? Would you help us to live not for ourselves, but for a cause greater than us that will outlast us all, your love, your kingdom, the good news? And we pray this in your name. Amen.